We are Rogue Media Sports.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
It is the Doomsday Podcast, and joining us now live from Landover, and what a time it is out there. Ed, there's no stadium that's kind of either tougher to get to or even the media parking does not put you where you need to be. It is where the Commanders play, FedEx Field, one of my least favorite places in the NFL. But Ed set up camp there. And Ed, the Cowboys, now we know, they'll be, as we tape this, within the last hour or so, Ed had the news that Cowboys will host the Packers Sunday afternoon at 3:30. Ed, I think we always assume the Cowboys are going to be a primetime night game. So yeah. I think we're surprised a little bit, but happily surprised, because I think for us that's a little bit better, and for you, you don't have to stay out there for 12 to 15 hours or whatever, wherever you have to stay
like
on those.
Yeah,
that's right.
And this was just a late kick. This wasn't even a night game, but you're right. The stadium is so isolated up there in Landover, Maryland. I actually, to get back to my hotel after the game, had to have my producer drive me 5 miles before I could get to a place where Uber would pick me up. So it is that remote, as you
yeah.
said. And but it was, you know, I think the one reason people were skeptical about whether the Cowboys would come in and close out Washington and win the division championship and ensure that the NFC East has a new champion for the 19th consecutive year, ridiculously. The Eagles falling apart down the stretch here heading into the playoffs, was that the Cowboys have been so bad on the road that all five of their losses came on the road. And so what they have achieved now in being the number two seed, they've not been the number two seed since 1994. Now, they were the number one seed, you know, at least once when Tony Romo was a quarterback, and then they were again in 2016 when Dak Prescott was a rookie starter. And they lost that game to Mike McCarthy and the Packers at AT&T Stadium. And Dak reflected a little bit on that today after the game. But, yeah, what an interesting first-round matchup. Cowboys at home, where they have the biggest home field advantage in all of football. And Mike McCarthy coaching in the first round of the playoffs against his former team. And Matt LaFleur, the head coach who replaced him, with the Packers. Just all kinds of fascinating storylines, and we'll get into just what the Cowboys accomplished by being the second seed, but I know there's some other housekeeping measures you want to employ first.
Werder, Mosley, Stretch. Stephen Simcox, the producer of this fine program, probably the most listened to Cowboys podcast in the land. I think I've confirmed that at some point. I may need to check on that. Stephen, would you please play the music? All right, it is Mosley and Werder. Hours after the Cowboys take a 38-10 game on the road in Washington, they... Oh, to use a NBA term that's sometimes used, they played with their food a little bit for the first part of the game, but then they got it rolling. and got that 21-10 halftime lead and built on that. Ed is still there in Landover, in the greater Washington, D.C. area. And, Ed, I have to say that was a big breakthrough for the Cowboys to get that number two seed. And there's several things we want to talk about because this was historical in a lot of ways. I mean, McCarthy becomes the first ever Cowboys coach. For all that we, kind of make fun of him and talk about with McCarthy, and I mean, you don't make fun of him. I do from time to time.
We question his game management.
Yeah.
And strategy and tactics.
Exactly.
On occasion.
It's on occasion, but it seems like a lot of occasions, but it's remarkable that he's the first Cowboys coach with all these illustrious coaches. One of them just went to the Ring of Honor. That Jimmy Johnson, that first Cowboys coach to have back-to-back-to-back 12-win seasons. Now, it's a little easier now because you have 17 games. Tom and Jimmy and others did not have that. But Wade, because one of those things you talked about earlier, 2007, that was a Wade team. And then 2016 was obviously a Jason Garrett team. But Ed, you always do a great job putting these things in perspective. I mean, it was pretty historical on a lot of levels, and the fact that the Cowboys were able to grab the number two seed, I mean, even a couple of weeks ago, that looked like there was no way it would happen.
Yeah, well, one final kind of point on Mike McCarthy and, yeah, first coach to win 12 games 3 years in a row, even though this franchise has had either two or three Hall of Fame coaches, depends on how you want to count them. But certainly Tom Landry and Jimmy Johnson were owned by the Cowboys. And then Bill Parcells is another Hall of Famer who coached here who didn't achieve that. So credit to him on that. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention that this is his first year as the offensive play caller. That's significant. I think that has changed his relationship with Dak Prescott for the better. It's elevated the combination of Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb to the point where they're arguably the most dominant quarterback receiver combination in all of football right now. And that's been a byproduct of McCarthy finally becoming in his fourth season the Dallas play caller. I mean, when he was hired, I always assumed he was going to call the plays because why else would you hire him? That's what he did. That's the value he brought. And yet, for whatever reason, Jerry Jones decided to let Kellen Moore continue to do it. And even at the start of this season, early on, he was failing. Mike McCarthy was failing badly in that comparison to Kellen Moore, but certainly no more. And, Dak Prescott, the first quarterback to win four career division championships since Troy Aikman back in the 1990s, another significant milestone achieved. But I think when you look at this game and what they achieved, I mean, they passed out the NFC East Division Championship hats and T-shirts, to the victorious Cowboys players and coaches. But the most significant reward from this game is capturing the home field advantage for the first two rounds of the playoffs. It guarantees them nothing ultimately in the playoffs as we know from previous experience with, Dak and his eight seasons. But almost nothing could make them more likely to achieve the kind of postseason success that's eluded the franchise for the last 27 years. Mike McCarthy's team has won 16 consecutive home games. That's the longest streak in the NFL. And the Cowboys average an NFL high 37.4 points per game at AT&T Stadium. And their 172-point differential at home is a single-season franchise record, the 10th highest in NFL history. The most recent team to have a higher one was the 2011 Saints. So they average a lot of points, and they are an ominous challenge for anybody coming into that building, especially, a young Packers team and a quarterback in Jordan Love who doesn't have any playoff experience and a bunch of young receivers. But what they achieved with this winning this division title and overtaking the Eagles here at the end of the year and winning it on their own on the field today on the road, I think has them feeling really capable of moving beyond where this group of players has been as a collective group. So I think they're going to be – I mean, this basically means that the Cowboys don't have to play any postseason road games unless they play the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. That is the only scenario where the Cowboys have to travel to get to a Super Bowl.
Have you booked a room in San Francisco yet?
I would love nothing more than to go back after all the experiences I've had of covering the Cowboys and 49ers in the 90s and all those epic championship games, to go back and do it again with these two groups of players. And we've seen the 49ers have dominated the Cowboys. The Cowboys will not be favored against the 49ers, especially not on the road, assuming the 49ers don't have any significant injuries. The 49ers, you know, they beat the Cowboys by 32 earlier this year. They've ended the Cowboys postseasons each of the last 2 years. So the 49ers are formidable. I'm not saying the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl, but I'm saying they've created a path where that is entirely possible. They've at least created a situation where they can get to the first NFC Championship game the franchise has had in 27 years. In all likelihood, they have to beat the Packers next Sunday, and then presuming the Lions win, they would play the Lions. They just beat the Lions. It was a game they easily could have lost, and certainly one that left the Lions feeling like they want another shot at the Cowboys. But that's who they would all, in all likelihood, have to beat to get to the 49ers, assuming the 49ers win their first game, because they have a bye.
Yeah, I know the Niners may have played today's game differently or approached it differently, but isn't it funny, Ed, when you look back after a regular season and you look at certain games and you can't help but think about, like, what the Cowboys losing that game at Arizona. Of course, then the Eagles did it to let the Cowboys back in. But, I mean, you can look at it a variety of different ways. But the Cowboys could be the number one overall seed in some ways. Obviously, with the same records, the Niners had the head-to-head winner over the Cowboys. But I think since the 42-10, I mean, the only catastrophe for the Cowboys in the after that was that Bills game. I mean, that was the only one where it just kind of, oh my gosh, they just kind of got run out of the building. I think they will approach this game next week with a lot of confidence, and here's where I agree with you. I don't know that they've had a better path to the NFC title game. I mean, I think we thought at the time, 2007, with a young Romo, you're in the divisional game, and you're playing a Giants team that you had fared well against. And at that point, Romo was looked at favorably against Eli Manning. And Eli, you know, famously led that drive down there at the end. And we know what happened, and the Cowboys lost. But this is a great path. And I think, Ed, what Cowboys fans, true Cowboys fans, know, and what you and I certainly know, is that, like, I think outsiders kind of think, well, they hadn't been to the Super Bowl in forever, so anything short of a Super Bowl is a failure. For this franchise, getting somehow having a path and getting to a conference title game would be enormous. It would be an enormous breakthrough, and honestly, anything on top of that would sort of be icing on the cake, because they just haven't done this in so long. And if I know Jerry, and I wasn't around Jerry tonight, but that's what Jerry's talking about, is like, he knows, much like 2007 and maybe even a little bit 2016, and then whatever that year was, Romo, you know, the Dez, did he catch it deal. He knows, like, how precious these opportunities are, and he has to know this is an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, and I guess the only way, I agree with you that if they got to the, you know, championship game, that would be an obvious breakthrough for the franchise to win two playoff games and advance somewhere that they haven't been in 27 years. And if they had to play the 49ers again, everybody would presume, well, they did the best they could do. Then they went up against a team that just has them figured out, and they can't yet compete with that team. But if the 49ers aren't there, that means the Cowboys would be playing at home, and then I think your expectations might change, and you would expect them to go ahead and win the championship game and advance on to the Super Bowl. But getting to a championship game, I think at this point, assuming the 49ers are, you know, going to have a bye week, and then they're going to play in all likelihood the winner of the Tampa Bay Eagles game at home, that they would then dispatch that team. But that might not happen. We just never know. We never know. We never thought the Eagles would be in the tailspin that they're in right now. I mean, this was a team that had been to the Super Bowl last year, nearly won the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Their quarterback had an incredible year. They signed him to a huge deal in the offseason. They start out the season as they're the last unbeaten team in the NFL at, what, 9-0, 10-0? And then they go and lose five of their last six games to finish the season and lose to the Giants today and lose at home last week to the Cardinals to hand the Cowboys this opportunity, which, to their credit, again, they did it on the field. And they did it in a situation where there was some level of skepticism just because of how poorly they played on the road. And so for them to be able to find a way to win this game and avoid that circumstance where they have to play all these games on the road, and we thought that's what was going to happen 2 weeks ago. We thought that was their path to wind up with this one. And to win this game today, you know, like you said, they were behind early on. They had some adversity. They got a kick blocked and nearly returned for a touchdown. The Dak Prescott threw one of those deflected interceptions that were so commonplace last year. But they also won this game without two starting offensive guards. Zach Martin, mm-hmm. a late scratch because of an illness, and Tyler Smith missing after he was unable to finish last week with that foot injury. Now we assume both will be ready to go for the playoffs, and that's the priority. But it was not necessarily, you know, a great start-to-finish win, but they won convincingly. They proved themselves to be the dominant team in the division. And with the exception of the one loss narrowly to the Eagles, which, again, they could have won that game. They kind of botched that final opportunity to win at the end of the game in the fourth quarter. But I just think that if you look at how they came out of this game last year where they lost 26-6 and then went into the playoffs and they did obliterate Tampa Bay and beat Tom Brady, and that would be the last loss he ever suffered in his career. But I think this team takes a lot more confidence and momentum into the playoffs. Their offense has been, you know, dominant on an almost weekly basis. I mean, Dak Prescott this time last year was explaining how, after missing five games, he's leading the NFL in interceptions with what, 15 interceptions last year, tied for the league lead. And now,
yes,
in all likelihood, he's finishing as the first Cowboys quarterback in history to throw more touchdown passes than any other player in the history of the league or in the history of the Cowboys. First passing champion in Cowboys history, 36 touchdown passes after four more today against Washington and eight total in two games. So I think they not only have a great path for success, but it's a better team. They're a better team because they have, you know, Stephon Gilmore, a veteran corner, and they have Brandon Cooks, a legitimate second receiver. So they have more playmakers on offense. And they're playing differently now on offense, and a lot of that's because of Mike McCarthy. And Dak Prescott was up there at the podium today giving him, you know, an enormous amount of credit for the individual success and the success of the team this year.
Ed, you mentioned Stephon Gilmore, who's been, I mean, Bland obviously has put up the best numbers, had another interception. Jordan Lewis has come on strong, but I think Gilmore is their best cover guy. I would say he had to leave the game today. Now, he was quoted telling reporters after the game that he would be good to go. Did you get any word on him or did anybody have some thoughts on Gilmore?
McCarthy said that he spoke to Gilmore after the game, and he said he'd never had a shoulder problem before and that he thought he would be okay. That it sounds like the shoulder dislocated sublexed, and then was popped back in place. And maybe he could have played if they had really needed him to, but they'd kind of secured the game at that point and didn't want to risk further injury. Then a little observational reporting you know, the locker rooms in Washington are divided, offense on one side and then defense in a separate room. And so while we were waiting for Dak Prescott to finish dressing and go to the podium, I walked over to the defensive room and I stood in the doorway and I watched him engage with Jayron Kearse and some other defensive players. And at the time, Gilmore was putting a hoodie on, and he actually put it on backwards, so he had to take it off and put it on. And he didn't seem to be having any limitations with his arms and shoulders as he was doing this. He wasn't wincing in pain. He didn't need assistance. So I would say, based on my observational reporting, that seemed encouraging, as well as everything we were hearing from him and McCarthy and others.
I like that, Ed. That's that gumshoe on the scene reporting, watching him put his hoodie on backward and then be able to take it off and put it back on. I think that does suggest that hopefully he's going to be okay. It is the Doomsday Podcast here. And I would say, Ed, the only thing that is, worrisome, the Packers finished 9-8, seem to be a hot team. Hot young quarterback. He is 32 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. So in terms of his numbers, not
similar
that far
Dak.
Behind Dak Prescott.
Yeah. And Jordan, love this. You know, this is kind of a surprise with the Packers having, you know, all of that dead cap money for moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Everybody thought this was kind of a transitional year for the Packers, that, you know, they redid Jordan Love's contract, and they kind of created a situation where they weren't long-term committed to him, that if he didn't prove himself this year, that they had some hesitation about believing fully that he was their long-term starting quarterback and an apt successor to Aaron Rodgers and, by extension, Brett Favre. But I think he's put that all aside with the way they played. Especially in the last part of the season. I think they've won 6 of their last 8 games. And you look at what he did today against the Bears, and the Bears defense has been playing great. He completed 84% of his passes, the highest completion percentage by a Packers quarterback since Lynn Dickey in 1983. And he's had 4 straight home games with 250 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. The last time a Packers quarterback did that was Aaron Rodgers. But, of course, he has to go on the road now, and it's a whole different thing. On the road against Dan Quinn's defense and the pressure and the confusion and the takeaways that they create. And that's all become a part of their identity again here these last couple of games. But beyond that, I mean, you know, it's taken time, but every Packers receiver is either in their first or second year in the NFL. And so it's taken him some time to develop a rapport with this group of receivers. But I mean, you look at what the Packers receivers have done. And one of the second-year players is Christian Watson. We saw what he did with Aaron Rodgers in beating the Packers last year with, 3 touchdown catches in the game where they came back from 14 down to win in the fourth quarter in Mike McCarthy's return to Lambeau Field. But they have 2,250 receiving yards by rookies. That's the third most in NFL history. Only the 1960 Houston Oilers and the 1960 Dallas Texans had more.
My gosh.
2,250 yards receiving by rookies. And by first and second year players, the number's 3,642. That's the second most in history. Only the 1961 Oilers had more. So, if you look at the Packers, they're the fourth youngest team to make the playoffs since the 1970 merger. Their average age is 25.58 years per player. And, of course, they've got Aaron Jones, a veteran who's coming off 3 straight 100-yard rushing games, the first Packers running back to do that since Amon Green in 2006. So I think they have the potential to be formidable and make big plays in the passing game. But I'm going to imagine that Dak Prescott and McCarthy and CeeDee Lamb and Pollard and Brandon Cooks and Jake Ferguson are going to be awfully hard for the Packers to handle on defense, where they played very poorly for most of the year. In fact, there's been an incredible amount of pressure on Matt LaFleur, the head coach, to fire Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator. Even as recently as in the last month, people were upset that he still had not fired Joe Barry as a defensive coordinator. And so it would seem to me the Cowboys, going into this game are going to expect to score a lot of points and force the Packers and their inexperienced group of, you know, skill position players, especially the quarterback, to try and play catch-up football against a great pass rush and a defense that can take the ball away from anybody.
That's great info. I love that stuff on the Packers. And what's funny is I would almost rather face the Eagles at home than the Packers, just because you kind of know them and they're playing so horribly. And but it's just it's a bit of a wild card. But the Cowboys are great at home, and they should be okay. I do want to tell Ed our listeners, remind them about Marable Homes, timeless classic homes, approachable luxury homes. They're going up in Lake Highlands, Preston Hollow, Park Cities, Lakewood, Forest Hills, Richardson, Cedar Creek Lake. I mean, it is just, and I go over to MaribelHomes.com sometimes, and I showed you recently, Ed, just some of the inviting homes, some of the beautiful exterior, not too ostentatious, but in just wonderful, wonderful homes that fit into neighborhoods. But, boy, they stand out as well as just gorgeous homes and
great floor
homes.
Plans, great finishes.
Oh,
unbelievably attractive. And what a great way to invest your money.
That's right. That's right. That's in a home. And we all need homes. And Ed and I will continue to point you in that direction. It is time now to hear the grades, and I would have to assume after a 38-10 win in Washington, he would be in a pretty good mood. Let's hear from our resident scout and coach, Glenn Stretch Smith. It is Stretch Plays. Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys scout and coach. You can watch him on Sunday evenings after games on WFAA. That's the Channel 8, the ABC affiliate in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Stretch, Cowboys get it done and win going away. We expected that. It was a little sloppy early, and maybe they let them hang in a little longer than they wanted to, but were able to rest Dak. I even felt like they could have gotten Dak out earlier in that game, but got the commanding 35-10 lead. Overall, Stretch, I mean, like, given the fact how bad the Eagles are playing, knowing the Packers are now coming in, we know that is the matchup. After watching the Cowboys today, how do you feel about the team overall?
I mean, this is a good football team. I mean, you don't win 12 games in the NFL and not be a good football team. Do they have their strong points? Hell yeah, they do. Do they have their weak points? Absolutely they do, but every team does. And so I think when you look at, from an overall perspective, when you look at where the Cowboys are right now, they played good against the Detroit Lions team that is obviously playoff bound and playing good football. They played very well today against the Washington team that's, you know, I mean, I'm going to say – They kind of had it all to play for. Washington too. I mean, their coach is well respected. Ron Rivera is, I mean, he's a well respected NFL coach. You know, he told those guys, "Hey, go out and play for the guy next to you. Go out and play for the name on your jersey, and go lay it on the line." And I think you saw Washington early in the football game. I mean, they were running reverses and flip passes and reverse passes. I mean, they were doing everything they could to kind of unload the play card to feel like they could hang in with the Cowboys. And they did that. But, you know, eventually the Dallas Cowboy team, and I'm saying team because I think the defensive line played well. I think the offensive line played well. I think quarterback obviously did, you know, played very well. I think the backs ran the foot. I mean, you know, you saw a team take over and beat a team that they should beat. And that's exactly what you want to do. And what I think Mike McCarthy wanted to see out of his team, having to go, obviously the last week of the season to Washington, a tough place to play that I say a tough place. It looked like three quarters of the fans in there were Cowboy fans. So maybe it felt like a little bit of a home game on the road, but I thought overall this team played very well. And when you look at how the team has been constructed, you know, I watched Houston play early and I watched a little bit of, you know, Schultz, the tight end that the Cowboys let go. And then I watched Ferguson play and I'm like, man, did Dallas make the right decision, you know, keeping Ferguson? And you see how Cooks has replaced, you know, Noah Brown. You see how Dowdle has kind of taken those reps that Zeke used to get. And so I think the football team overall is playing well. And what I really like is that, you know, T.J. Bass and Hoffman stepped in, and Dallas has been given some of their linemen days off, and they should, you know, when you can kind of give, you know, Tyron and Zach a few, you know, a day here or a day there off. But what I like is you saw those young players step in and play, and the game wasn't too big for them. And the fact that they've signed Lyle Collins back here, you know, I think you sleep well as a Cowboys fan knowing offensive line-wise they got good depth. I think, you know, Hankins hadn't played and the defensive line played well. So there's a lot of positives, but you're asking me how do I feel about the football team right now? You got to feel great. They got two home games. There ain't no this year at home. They're playing really well at home. And you got to think they'll get after Green Bay coming in here.
All right, and Stretch, to your point on the D-line, Dante Fowler has a sack and a half, Sam Williams a half sack, Micah gets to 14 sacks on the season with a sack, and then Dorrance Armstrong had a sack and a tackle for loss. So pretty strong showing by that group. You know, I would say, Stretch, on the back end, Bland gets another pick after making the Pro Bowl. Jordan Lewis has come on strong. I think you've been on him now, you know, from a very positive standpoint the last few weeks, and makes a play on the ball, rips the ball out of there, and gets the fumble himself. You know, that's what it's going to take to get on a roll in the playoffs. I do think you have to feel good. I think the only downside Stretch is that Stephon Gilmore left that game with an injury. And I guess it's maybe his shoulder. We'll find out more about that. That's a little bit that's worrisome. But boy, some really good play from those DBs. And Donovan Wilson made one too.
Right, he got. You mentioned that he got the pick, obviously on the tip ball where Lawrence is able to get the pressure up the middle. You know, as you look at this though. What I like about what the Dallas Cowboy defense is doing right now is they're really chasing the football. I mean, they are chasing the football sideline to sideline, and there's a lot of them that are doing it. Now, that's a good thing and a bad thing. You can say, well, you know, they were able to have some success running those reverses. But what I like was the first fourth down they go for, or when they got the fourth down stop. I mean, you see how many Cowboys jerseys were there chasing that ball, and it's a, you know, that mentality is a reckless abandon mentality, and I like what I see out of that. I tell you what else I like is Kearse has become a more, you know, box kind of down in there, almost linebacker, and you see him, I mean, he is great at shedding and separating, even on tight ends and offensive linemen as an undersized guy. I mean, he is coming up and filling it in there. And when you look at going forward, and I know we don't like to always look at going forward, but you know that they're going to try to – Aaron Jones is going to come in here, and they're going to try to run the football. They're going to try to hammer him in there. And Dallas is – that's where Dallas is going to be challenged. And they'll be challenged this week, and obviously if they get – you know, whoever they play the following week, and then if they got to get to San Francisco, they're going to have to stop the run. But I did see some things today out of a team that looks better with their run fits and is chasing the football with a real sense of urgency. And I look across the front, like you said, Williams, Fowler, Armstrong, Lawrence, Neville Gallimore, Vigi Zua. Now, hopefully, you know, Hankins will come back in there and allow them to have that depth where they can keep chasing the football. But a great effort today all the way around by the defense. You've got to really appreciate how this team has taken on the mentality of being a one linebacker, true linebacker team with Damone Clark, who I think is playing well, and then, you know, being able to roll other guys down there in the box, whether it be Hooker, Curse, Bell. I mean, those guys are having to come down in there and play that, you know, what I feel like is hard hat football, which means you're going to have to come in there and fill it up in that run. They have shown in the last few weeks to be very willing and able to do that and more comfortable playing that role down in there. It was a big loss to lose Vander Esch, and they have absolutely played well. And I think that that's going to have to continue, and they're going to have to get, you know, those one or two turnovers like you talked about in order to win what I feel like are get critical stops when you get to the playoffs.
All right, and the last thing, I know you always enjoy watching Bones over there with his armbands and everything. The Cowboys get a blocked punt and Hendershot, you know, after the one where they missed it and then roughed the kicker a few weeks ago, it probably was in that Buffalo game, they come through and he gets a great one. Then later he leaps over a guy. We're seeing really good tight end play. But you saw them give up a blocked field goal. What did you make of the special teams today?
Well, I mean, when you're having to shuffle guys around up there on that front line, you know, with Zach being down, then Biotis has to step out into that tackle situation. He got beat hard inside. You think, okay, that's something you got to clean up. You got to know that. If they're moving you around, you got to know the one place you can't get beat is hard inside. Now, again, with them shuffling guys the way they had to shuffle guys along that front to protect, I was initially more concerned, okay, that's the first time they've had a miss on a field goal, and then he doinks the upright. Aubrey did on the second try, but he came back, kind of got back in his rhythm. It's really a rhythm that you didn't want to have to disrupt at all. But I do like you said, then they blocked the punt. You know, the thing, though, Matt, that to me, before I let you go here, that is, I believe, was impressive about what they did was how they ran the football, how Dallas ran the ball, not only just using their backs. They used CD in there. They handed the outside zone to Turpin. And what you got to remember as you move forward here, they're showing that on film. And guess what? Those are all things that the Packers, that Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, is going to have to look at. And those are things they're going to have to work on. And so you create some real issues for the defense just because you think you can tee off on a certain personnel group, knowing that they can put Turpin in the backfield, they can put CD in the backfield and run the football. And what I like more than all of that is, again, the two young guys, Bass and Hoffman, that stepped in and played at guard, because the Dallas offensive line today were getting a hat on a hat, and they were physical, and they were able to run the football. And if you're going to win at the highest level, which the NFL is the highest level, and now we're talking about there's a whole nother tournament that's getting ready to start here next weekend. They've got to allow the quarterback to keep playing at the level he played at today, throwing four touchdowns and feeding the ball in correct windows, whether it was the back shoulder fade, whether it was the corner that he threw. This offensive line is going to be what's going to determine how far the Dallas Cowboys offense can go, because – if they can continue to protect, they can run the football a little bit and play action off of that, that'll give them a chance to really go deep into the playoffs.
I'm glad you said that. I thought they played well, and they can get maybe Tyler and Zach back in there, be it more at full strength. But I thought that group did well. I saw on one of those plays down near the goal line, I think it was the center took it was the center and the left guard. They took the running back and almost ran him, almost, you know, pushed him into the end zone. I like how they looked. I like how they played on that. All right, Stretch, 3:30 Sunday afternoon, the Cowboys and Packers will get it on, and we'll all be there to cover it, react to it. I really appreciate it, sir.
They did come out with that, huh? That's the final time, 3:30 Sunday.
That's correct.
That's a good window for the Cowboys, and I think that'll be a good I think it's all leading in the right direction, Mosley.
All right, and I also like that you brought up Neville Gallimore, because you know what? He served as one of the weekly captains today. Gallimore, Lupke, and C.D. Lamb were the captains for the Cowboys, so you were on point as usual. It is Glenn Stretch Smith on the Doomsday Podcast, and now we turn it over to a message from Glenn's good friend, my good friend, Randy Hudson, and Hudson Financial Group. It is Mosley from the Doomsday Podcast. I'm with Randy Hudson of Hudson Financial Group, a company that he founded in 1988, not too long after his playing days at the University of North Texas. And I'm with Randy today. And Randy, we love having you as part of the Doomsday Podcast. You've got a great business out here in Heath and, boy, Carthage down into East Texas. Y'all do great business. Tell us a little bit about what you started with and then kind of what your company has become, because in terms of, property and casualty insurance, it's amazing. But also, boy, you help a lot of CEOs, businesses. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days, and to give people an example of what they could get involved with.
Sure, Matt. Thank you. Glad to be a part. We started this in 1988 when I graduated at what was North Texas State. We were the last class of graduates under North Texas State, so that makes us old, I guess. But I majored in insurance, had a double major in financial planning, and within 2 weeks, I was in the insurance business, opened up my first office, and 35 and a half years later, we're still doing it, so I guess we'll stick with it. My goal is to take care of people, okay? And a friend of mine and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and we said, 95% of your clients are your friends, and your friends are your clients. And you want it to be that way. So we take care of people, and if they need property casualty insurance from their business to their personal to their recreational activities, we can do that. And we do. But then we get into more in-depth planning, because some people have more things that they need to be handled. So we can help them with tax planning, succession planning, the business planning side, setting up corporations and companies. And so with all that, you build a relationship that lasts for years. I do have some clients that we've had for over 30 years, and that's really neat to know, to watch us grow and them grow together. So the North Texas tie is real simple. I love North Texas and love to give back, and so that's just kind of, what we're able to do.
And speaking of friendships, you used to listen to, Randy Galloway and I were on 103.3, and then through Glenn Stretch Smith, who you've become good friends with, and is a big part of this podcast. We all sort of got to know each other, so it's kind of part of the business. It happens in broadcasting too, but we love sending people to Hudson Financial Group. Randy, appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right, there it is, and thanks to Hudson Financial Group. Great to hear from Randy Hudson, and boy, just wonderful to have all these folks who want to be a part of the Doomsday Podcast. Ed Werder and I, Ed, when we left just, a week ago or so, Cowboys played Detroit. They barely escaped. It was a very strange, in very strange fashion. We thought we would not be heading back there. And then the Eagles proceeded to lose to Arizona. Then today it didn't really matter because the Cowboys won, but they lose again to the New York Giants, Tyrod Taylor and that bunch. And Ed, as we talked about earlier, Cowboys now have an incredible opportunity, and now they welcome the Packers in. I mean, everything sets up well. Ed, as we discussed, and hopefully what this allowed, what that O-line playing well today, and I'm talking about Bass and, that whole interior of the line, the center, the right guard, the left guard.
Brock Hoffman.
Brock Hoffman. He was in there. He's the guy who shoved, I think it was Pollard, toward the goal line on one of those runs. I loved how Brock Hoffman got to the second level. But those guys played really well filling in, and what that allowed the Cowboys to do is basically, you know, in what felt like kind of a must-win situation, they got to rest some key members of that O-line. And, you know, of course, they've been waiting for Hankins to get back on the D-line and really help against the run. And you know, you brought the name up, Ed, earlier, Aaron Jones. I mean, I have to think that LaFleur is going to look at what the Bills did to the Cowboys and come in and try to do something similar and run the ball with Jones as much as possible and see what they can do. I mean, obviously the Washington wasn't going to do much of anything against the Cowboys. And but everything sets up pretty well, Ed, and I don't like it, when you talk about like bad matchups or good matchups, while they're a little bit of a wild card, it's very compelling since McCarthy was there for so many years. I don't think it's a bad matchup on the surface.
No, I think it's a good matchup, and I do agree that, you know, Matt LaFleur is going to test the Cowboys' vulnerability against the run. Aaron Jones is a veteran running back, and A.J. Dillon is a veteran running back. And so they have two very high-quality running backs. And, you know, Aaron Jones, as he's demonstrated a couple of years ago against the Cowboys when they weren't the defense they are now, he's really capable of also being a very effective receiver out of the backfield. And so I obviously he's going to want to remove as much of the burden from a young quarterback in his first playoff game as possible. And the best way to do that and try to control the score and not expose him to the Cowboys pass rush is and stay in the game is to try to create an effective running game or a short passing game that uses the running back. And Aaron Jones is capable of that, but I suspect Dan Quinn will have some pretty good, you know, concepts himself to try to thwart all that. And I think they are a better run defense now with Hankins back in the mix. But Jones is a guy who can, you know, he can attack the defense on the edges. And like I said, he can play in the passing game. So he'll be a threat. But I think this is a very good matchup for the Cowboys. In fact, if I were them, I would feel better about playing Green Bay, even though they're an unfamiliar opponent to a certain degree, than playing the Rams, who you did play and beat earlier at home, earlier at AT&T Stadium this year, quite decisively. But the Rams are playing better, and they've got veteran people. I mean, they got a veteran quarterback. They've got one of the best defensive players in the history of the game. And so I think this is a matchup. If the Cowboys could choose between the Rams and the Packers, I'm pretty sure they'd pick the Packers.
I think that is correct. And the Rams have a Super Bowl winning quarterback and a Super Bowl pedigree within the last few years here. So that's a different animal. And I agree with you. Ed, the Doomsday Podcast will be in place. And we'll be out there at AT&T Stadium as the Cowboys try to extend their home-winning streak to 17 games. Hard to believe. And, Ed, how far do you have to go back to have a Cowboys home streak that goes any more than this one?
I believe they won 18 games in the 70s, early 70s.
Wow.
I think we said last week the only team recently that's got a longer home winning streak were the Brady Belichick Patriots, who won 18 or more consecutive home games three different times over the course of that partnership, which produced obviously six Super Bowl wins for the franchise. So, yeah, I mean, and today, you know, Dak Prescott completed 86% of his passes. That's his fourth game with at least an 80% completion percentage this season. The other three games were all at home. But he is the first quarterback in NFL history with four games in a single season completing 80% or more of his passes with at least 30 attempts in each game. So that's pretty incredible. And again, as I said, three of those games came at home, where the Cowboys will spend most of the postseason, and they hope they spend all of it there, but only if they're playing an NFC Championship game at home, because they sure will be. It'll be a disappointment for them if they get upset at home after creating this great circumstance. But, you know, we talked about Prescott having a chance to lead the NFL in touchdown passes just 1 year after tying for the NFL lead with Davis Mills of Houston for the most interceptions in the league. And that hasn't been done. A quarterback has not led the league in interceptions 1 year and touchdown passes the next since Hall of Famer Bob Waterfield in 1946.
Yeah, Bob Waterfield
yes, sir.
And remind us where Waterfield was playing.
He was with the Cleveland, right? With the Browns/Rams, I believe.
Okay, that's interesting because I thought of Cleveland and I thought of the Rams. So I think maybe one of those might be right. But I also had Waterfield connected to the Eagles somehow. So
maybe beat the Eagles.
In my mind. But that is fascinating.
Here it is. Here it is. I just looked him up. A skilled player. Played eight seasons, primarily as a quarterback, but also a safety, kicker, punter, and sometimes return specialist with the Cleveland/Los Angeles Rams. We're right.
Wow. Wow. That is our we may need to go on the road after this, Ed, and play some trivia. Werder and Mosley could show up at some of these sports trivia night at some of the bars around the Metroplex. Ed, thank you. Been great work during the regular season. Now we put our playoff caps on. Not that we're going to put the division championship. Oh, by the way, afterwards, CD, who had all kind of records as well. I mean, that was what a remarkable
season. Greatest receiving season in Cowboys history.
Yeah, what a remarkable season that was. He had his NFC East championship ball cap on. Dak refused to put one on. Said he was waiting for something bigger.
Right. He said, I have some of those. I'm looking forward. I want something better. Ooh, and I told Dak as he was getting dressed before his press conferences, he was just sitting there. I congratulated him. And I said, did you know you're the – I said, that's your fourth one. I said, that's the most any Cowboys quarterback has won since Aikman. And he says – I want to go to the places Aikman and Staubach have been. Troy and Roger, he called them, but said he wants to go to the places that they've been. Obviously, another reference to the Super Bowl.
Man, wow. And he's doing it at age 30? Those guys did it at younger ages, but it's not too late. And he's got a great opportunity, and he's having arguably the best season of his career. It is the Doomsday Podcast. Ed, I appreciate it. And both Stephen Simcox doing tremendous work, as always, at our home studio. Just that's one of the reasons we sound so good on a weekly basis. So, Ed, tell Stephen how much you appreciate his work.
Stephen, you're doing an outstanding job. We'd like to have you permanently accept this, and we'd like you to do it publicly right now, if you don't mind.
You're going to have to franchise tag me, Ed. I guess we'll see how it goes.
He's like Dak. He wants to play on the tag.
He's going to play on the tag.
He's trying to prove himself.
That's right. Oh, man. He'll have us over a barrel like Dak had with the Cowboys. Yeah, Ed, I appreciate it. Steven, I appreciate it. For Steven Simcox and Ed Werder and the entire Doomsday Nation, this is Matt Mosley. Good night.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute.
No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.